Well, one of the things I really like about St. Mark, the evangelist, and the gospel that he's written is Mark is so succinct and to the point. Matthew and Luke can spend a lot of time describing something, talking about all kinds of different aspects of it, and going in depth into other areas. For example, Matthew and Luke each give us the genealogies of Jesus, but Mark just jumps into Jesus' life. Mark uses fewer words, but he can say so much in those few words. And we get a prime example of this today. Matthew, for example, spends 11 verses talking about Jesus' temptation in the desert. Luke goes even further than that with 13 verses. But Mark gives us only 2. Again, we just heard, Mark writes, "The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him." Mark really cuts to the chase describing this. And it's fascinating how much we can learn from this from only 2 verses. First off, it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who's driving Jesus out into the wilderness. The word Mark uses here in the Greek is ekbalo, which literally means to throw out, like someone throwing a ball or dice. This is the same word used to describe Jesus casting out unclean spirits. So this isn't a gentle word. You get the sense that the Spirit has quite strongly thrown Jesus into this place. And that place is the wilderness, not the friendly, settled parts of Israel, but the wild parts. To describe this place, Mark uses the Greek word for desert, not desert in the sense of a type of environment or climate, but desert in the sense that this place is deserted, desolate. Where Jesus has gone, there is no one else around him. And when we hear this, we tend to think of our modern situation and apply it to Jesus. Usually, if we go out into the wilderness or some desolate place like this, it's done out of a sense to admire or get back to nature, to see the Sierras or the forests, to go camping. But not so here with Jesus. We live in a time where we're a lot more separated from nature than people were back then. So this isn't Jesus going camping like we would. Rather, what's going on here is something we see over and over again in Jesus' ministry. Jesus has gone to a quiet place to pray. Going out into the wilderness like this is a way Jesus can get away from all the noise and the distractions in society, all the issues and struggles. Now he can better focus on God in prayer. And as I mentioned, Jesus does this frequently. But this is also what many in the early church did. In order to focus on God, many early Christians went out into the wilderness themselves, into the desert. That's where monasticism came from. Many monks today even continue to refer to their monasteries as the desert, hearkening back to this and other passages from Scripture. But those desert fathers and those monks learned that while they could get away from the many distractions of the world by going into the desert, they couldn't as easily get away from the temptations of those things. It's like today if you go up into the mountains and get outside of cell phone reception. You no longer have that distraction, that ringing or those alerts. However, you'll get to that point where you'll think, I wonder exactly where I am. Or how am I doing on this game? What's going on with my friends? The distraction is gone, but the temptation isn't as easily escaped. And we see this with Jesus. He's gone out into the wilderness to be alone with God, And Satan sees this as the perfect opportunity to start tempting him. It's not that the Spirit has brought Jesus to a place of temptation. It's that the devil wants to pervert the good the Spirit is bringing about here. In the other Gospels, we get concrete examples of this temptation. Luke, for example, says the temptation is for Jesus to use his power for himself, to test God, and to go after political and worldly rule. But there's something great in the way Mark mentions the temptations here. Since he doesn't specify exactly what they are, we can't know from him alone what the concrete temptations are. So it helps us to reflect on the many different ways each of us are tempted in our own lives. Maybe along with what Luke gives, Jesus is being tempted to eat, to engage in gluttony. Maybe the devil is trying to point out the greatness of Jesus' calling in the hope of stirring up his pride. Or maybe Satan is hoping to warp this time Jesus is spending with God and bring up an anger at the immensity of the task that's set before him. We don't know how long Satan is out here, but my guess is he's trying to throw everything that he possibly can at Jesus, but none of it takes hold. And then at the end of this, we get a cryptic sort of line. He was with the wild beasts and the angels ministered to him. Well, the wild beast seems a bit obvious with what with Jesus being in the desert and all. But Mark wants to reinforce this point. He wants to drive it home. Jesus hasn't gone to a tame place. This isn't a weekend camping in Sequoia or Yosemite. This is Jesus going into the Amazon, a place that's not entirely safe to go to by yourself. Even in this day and age, in the area that Jesus would have gone, he'd have to deal with hyenas, jackals, leopards. So it's not just the devil that Jesus is contending with. Jesus is also having to deal with the struggles of the world. Scripture elsewhere speaks of believers having to deal with three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Being without sin, I'm sure Jesus didn't deal with the middle one as much. But we can see from here he did have to deal with the world and the devil. But while Jesus is dealing with these things personally, while he's being tempted, he does have some help in this. His being ministered to by angels. We don't know if they're, for example, giving Jesus the food he needs, or if they're battling Satan as well. All we know is that they're also there and they're serving Jesus. And again, this may seem a little odd. I mean, surely Jesus doesn't need angels to minister to him. He's God. He could get through all of this on his own. However, Jesus doesn't insist on that. He doesn't insist on doing this by himself. By accepting the ministrations of angels, it's showing that Jesus isn't self-centered or prideful. It also highlights that while this struggle with temptations may be personal, the choices are ultimately up to us, this isn't something that has to be done alone. And this passage is ideal for us to hear at the start of the season of Lent. Lent for us should be like these times that Jesus goes into a private place, like this Spirit here throwing him into the desert. Lent should be a time for us to quiet down in our own lives and focus more on God. And that's part of the reason why many people decide to give up things during Lent. It can be good to take a break from, say, our cell phones and see what we're missing out on in our lives. For others, it might be good to say goodbye to Netflix for a little while and try using that time for things that will draw us closer to God or better live out his will in our lives. If there's something that we cringe at the thought of giving up, and it's hard for us to think of what we would do without it, then odds are that's a good sign it's something we should try doing without. Too often in our lives, we look at things around us and see our use of them as an example of our freedom, when in reality, it's the opposite. We don't want to admit that those things have control over us. But this, as this passage reminds us, we can't expect this to be easy. When Jesus goes out in the desert to be alone with God, that's when he starts to be assaulted with temptations. It's going to be the same for us. When we start to focus more on God and start to live into the season of Lent, we're bound to be tempted too. But instead of quickly falling into temptation, we can use that as a reason to focus even more on God, to ask for his help dealing with that and all the other temptations we have in our lives. And we need to remember in all of this, we aren't going through these struggles or our lives as Christians alone. We're part of a church, a body of believers. We should be there to support each other through temptations or any other struggles. So like Jesus, we should accept the help that we get from those around us. And like the angels, we should be quick to minister to our fellow Christians, even if it might seem at first like they don't need it. So this season of Lent, God has given us the opportunity to join him in the desert, to spend more time with him and time focused on his will in our lives. It's not necessarily going to be an easy thing to do. There will be temptations. There will be struggles. But we should also remember that this season of Lent isn't something that we do alone. There are plenty of people, both here at St. Columba and in other parts of our lives, that we can turn to for guidance and help. And most of all, we can be confident knowing that we'll face those struggles with God and that he's been through this desert before. Amen.